Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Walter Palmer, the most evil person on the planet, apparently. Walter Palmer, the jerky Minnesota dentist who killed the Lion King in Zimbabwe. Did he not know he was killing the star of the Lion King, Cecil? And now we're going to destroy him. We are going to totally destroy Mr. Walter. We're going to go out of our way to destroy Walter Palmer because he went on a trip, 55,000 smackaroos he plopped down for this trophy hunt in Zimbabwe because, well, that's just the kind of thing he likes to do. He's a successful dentist in Minnesota. He's got the extra dough. He's been successful in his business, so he's going to go on vacation and, I think it's a little wacky. It's not something I'd like to do, but the fact that he wants to do it doesn't bother me. So he goes all the way to Zimbabwe, slaps down that $55,000. He hires these guides that he assumes they know what they're doing because he's done this before. He's gone on other trophy hunts before. But little did he know that he was shooting and killing Cecil the Lion. Cecil the Lion, who scientists had put a GPS device on, who had been following Oxford University professors, had been following Cecil's movements over the years. And now Cecil is dead. And so now, because the world is angry. We're not angry about anything else, apparently. But we're angry about this. So we're going to destroy him. And this is the new American way. If we don't like what someone says, and in this case, what someone did, and in his mind, Walter Palmer's mind, he was doing something that he thought was legal because he had arranged it all ahead of time and paid a handsome sum to do it. And now he's back and many Americans, many people around the world, are doing everything they can to ruin him, to ruin his lifestyle, to take away his dental clinic, to threaten his family. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. And it is a pattern that I'm getting tired of. I'm just tired of watching this pattern where we destroy people. Now, he may not be the best example. This just is what set me off yesterday when I was reading all these stories of all these famous people attacking him. You had Mia Farrow, right? It was Mia Farrow who went on her Twitter handle and blasted out Walter Palmer's business address so everybody could go protest outside. And do you see the craziness that's going on outside of the dental clinic? The people who are up in arms, who are going crazy? So you're upset. I get that you're upset if you're an animal lover. I like animals too. But does that mean we have the right to destroy this guy? Rip him to shreds, make sure we take away every part of him. And now he's in hiding. He's getting death threats. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. He's not the only one, by the way, apparently we're trying to destroy. On a much lesser level, to show you how nutty we have become in this country, Jennifer Beals. Do you remember Jennifer Beals? She was in Flashdance. She's been in a whole bunch of movies. So the other day, earlier this week, she left her dog in her car for 4.5 minutes, The temperature outside where she left her car, 73 degrees. The windows on her car, all down, by the way. Now, granted, it's probably not smart to leave your animal alone in the car, even if it's for 5 minutes, but she walks in. She loves her dog. She walks into a pharmacy, walks back out, and people are freaking out, taking pictures. And she now, she's getting the same business that this Walter Palmer's getting. She's getting the same business that people are just going after her, trying to destroy her. 1-866-Geraldo, 1-866-437-2536. If you don't recognize this voice, normally I'm on the sidekick side of the Geraldo Rivera Show. No, I'm filling in for Geraldo today. I'm just mad about this. And by the way, there are so many more examples if you don't like the animal example, okay? And I understand if you love animals. I get that. I love animals, too. I'm a vegetarian. Tell you how much I love animals, but I still don't think we should go after Walter Palmer and destroy him. He, as far as I can see from reading the story about him, he was doing what he thought was a legal thing. Whether you like trophy hunting or not, it was he thought he was on the up and up. He didn't know he was killing the star of The Lion King. Then you have, let's see, other examples that are much smaller. You got, remember Gilbert Gottfried? He was the, you know, great comedian, hysterical, just a funny guy. Voice of the Affleck duck. Made some jokes about the Japanese tsunami on Twitter. And by the way, I thought it was a pretty funny joke, and he's a comedian. And when he made that joke on Twitter, they took away this major multi-million dollar Aflac account from him. And that was it. He wasn't done. Thankfully, he sort of resurrected his career for a while. He was down for the count, and people were trying to destroy him. And it was just 8 or 10 words that had come out of his mouth. And there's this police force. And by the way, before, if you're going to say it's just the liberals, it's not. It's both sides. I see it. Everybody's trying to stop everybody from saying things that's offensive. If you don't like it, turn the channel. If you don't like Gilbert Gottfried, don't see him in concert. If you don't like the story about Walter Palmer, turn the channel. 1-866-Geraldo, 1-866-437-2536. Let's go right to the phones and see if we've lit it up. Juan in New York. Juan, you're on 77 WABC. Hello, Juan. Juan.
And I'm.
Go ahead, Juan.
Good morning. I love your morning show.
Thank you.
I am so glad that you spoke out against this because you're the only one who has done it. And it's not, I have nothing against animals, but it just seems like it's gone overboard because the story that happened to me, I had my 6-year-old with me. I'm a truck driver. I had my 6-year-old with me. And I was told to turn off my truck because I could not let it idle. Another truck driver came up to me and gave me his gerbil. He says he carries a gerbil because if you have an animal, that law does not apply.
You're kidding me. Come on.
No, I kid you not. It was 25 degrees
right
outside. My son was off of school, so I had to take him with me. But because he was in there, I still had to shut my truck off. But this guy carries a gerbil. She doesn't have to shut his truck off.
Well, that's craziness. Total craziness. And you know, people, because you're sitting there idling, the same thing. They'll go after you. They want your job. They want blood. And I feel like this has only happened in the last 25 years. And Juan, thanks so much. And I thank you so much for listening to my morning show. By the way, if you haven't heard it, I do the News Hour every single morning, Monday to Friday. I think it's a great show. 5 a.m. So if you're up at that hour, you can find us, of course, WABCRadio.com, the podcast. It's just this viciousness. Add into the pot some of my fellow talk show hosts, some of them on other stations, some of them here. People will go after the advertisers, Rush Limbaugh, Michael Savage, tell them to pull their spots off their shows because they don't like what they're saying on the air. Well, you don't like what they're saying? Turn the channel, turn the dial if you don't like it. But you know what? They have the right to say what they want to say. Walter Palmer had the right, well, we think anyway, legally so far, to go on that trophy hunt. And we don't have the right as Americans, I don't think, but apparently we do now, to destroy someone's life if we don't like what they're saying or what they're doing. David is in Brooklyn. And David, you're now on 77 WABC.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good for you. Kudos to you for, you know, taking the side of it. Not that we agree with what he did, but it's totally, totally screwed up that our society is willing to destroy this man and kill him for something he might have not intended to do, whether we liked it or not. But we have people chopping people's heads off in all parts of the Middle East, and who could give a damn? The U.S. government doesn't give a damn. Children killing children, there's no outrage. We move on. This is just easy for people to do, to express that. We can pat ourselves on the back that, yeah, we love animals. We're good people.
And you know what, David? You know what? And thank you for the call. You know what also? I think the fact that we name this lion, then we sort of feel like it's at one with us. Cecil the Lion. And don't get me wrong, I wouldn't go on a trophy hunt. It's not my idea of a good time. And I'm a vegetarian. But I think that Walter Palmer, you know, this sickness to go after him and destroy him, it just seems so weird to me. Kathy in New Jersey, you're on 77 WABC.
Yes, hi. My name is Kathy. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
I understand all the people getting upset about, you know, the abortions and everything else going on in the world, but one thing has nothing to do with another. And, you know, every time it is an animal in question that's being abused, we always have to compare it to something else. Why can't this just stand alone and be seen for what it is? This man did not hunt this animal. This man lured this animal out of its habitat with meat. He shined a spotlight on it. He shot it with a bow. He did not do any kind of sport. He's a coward. He lured this animal and he shot it with a bow. This animal suffered for 40-something hours plus with a bow in its body.
And you know what, Kathy? I don't disagree with anything you said. I agree with you 100%. It's not my idea of a good time. I think it's awful that they made this animal suffer. But shouldn't we then go destroy him?
Well,
should we go destroy everything he's built? He's had a whole career. He's probably done great things in his life.
Comment on that?
Sure.
You know what? We are responsible for our actions in life, and what he did was so cowardice and so insensitive. And you know what? He's a dentist. I work for a dentist, okay? You're supposed to have compassion for things. I mean, if he feels like this towards an animal, I mean, is he really that compassionate of a human being? I mean, this is an animal that suffered for 43 hours or 47 animals with a bow in it. If you want to lure an animal with a spotlight and be the coward that he is, this is trophy hunting.
Don't disagree with you. Hey, can I ask you a quick question?
This is cowardice hunting.
Can I ask you a question? It has nothing to do with the talk, but I'm always curious about this. You work for a dentist. Is it true about their suicide rate, that dentists have the highest suicide rates? You ever
heard
that?
That's what I hear. You know what? Not really.
Is your dentist depressed? Is he depressed when he drills people?
I've worked. I'm 50-something years old. They're all alive, the ones I work
for.
That's good. From old age. But however, I do have compassion for the man because he has no compassion.
Okay.
That's why I have compassion for him.
I think you're right on, Kathy. I don't disagree with you at all. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Richard is in New Jersey, and now, Richard, you're on 77 WABC.
Yes, I agree with you that everything is over the top, but I hope something good comes out of this, because we shouldn't really be going after, you know, endangered species or animals of limited numbers, silverbacks or rhinos or anything like this.
Okay, fair enough. I've never hunted in my life. I have nothing against people who do. Look, they have the bear hunt every year in New Jersey, and if they did not thin out the population, it would be much worse than it already is. Walking through certain areas like West Milford, New Jersey, where people have problems with bears, you know, knocking over garbage cans, causing all kinds of problems. That Rutgers kid was killed by a bear, so I'm not totally against the hunt. I don't get this trophy hunt. I think Kathy was right there. You know, it was sort of a cowardly hunt. But should we ruin his life? I don't think so. Noam Layden in for Geraldo on 77 WABC. Two dirtiest words in the English language today. Walter Palmer, the jerky Minnesota dentist who went on a pseudo hunt in Zimbabwe, killed Cecil the Lion. The world is angry at him. He's in hiding today. And we're trying to destroy him in the process, destroy everything he's built. And he went on a hunt that he thought was legal, a trophy hunt, at least that's what he says. And there's nothing to suggest that he himself did not know what he was doing was on the up and up. Now, whether you like trophy hunts or not, I'm not somebody who would go on a trophy hunt. I don't like to see animals suffer with a bow and arrow. But I don't think we should destroy his life because he did so. And, you know, it's everybody's getting in on the act. So you had Mia Farrow, who tweeted out his address, Dr. Palmer's address, so they could find his business. You have a PETA tweeting out that he should be hung, Okay. And then tonight, the Empire State Building, which doesn't light up for, won't light up for Mother Teresa, won't light up for the victims, the Marines who were killed in Chattanooga. I can go on and on the things they won't light up for. Tonight they're going to light up for Cecil the Lion. Does that, you know, it's sort of silly after a while, no? 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Tom in New York. Tom, you're on 77 WABC.
Hi, good morning. I've been to Kenya on African safaris, not hunting, but ecotourism. And the vast majority of the money made in these countries nowadays, particularly in countries like Kenya, is from the ecotourism. The out-of-control countries like Tanzania, Zimbabwe, Congo have this poaching.
Did we lose you? I think we're having problems with your line, Tom, but I get your idea. 1-866-Geraldo, 1-866-437-2536. Mark on Long Island. Mark, you're on 77 WABC.
Yes, hi, Geraldo. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, except it's Noah. I'm in for Geraldo today.
Just two very quick comments. One is, let me just say that I'm not a hunter by any stretch, like you said. I think what the man did was wrong. Maybe they should fine him, and I agree 100%. I don't think he should be destroyed for what he's done. Secondly, just to respond to the woman who had come on before, the connection with this, with the abortion issue, is the response. It's ridiculous to me and hypocritical that we could respond to this situation in a way where we're ready to crucify this man, and at the same time that we're finding out that we have an industry in our own backyard that is harvesting the body parts.
Are you sure it's the same crowd? I mean, I know people want to make a collective statement about whether it be the left or the right, but I don't know that it's all the same people, by the way. You might be right, but I don't know that it goes across the board, that people who are pro-choice would be the same people who are screaming about Cease of the Line. They may be, but I don't know that for sure.
Yeah, I mean, we can't say 100%, but I think the overall outcry about this Cease of the Line issue, the fact that it's overshadowing what's going on with Planned Parenthood, whoever the response is from, is to me is atrocious and beyond comprehensible. I agree with you. This man should not be, you know, destroyed. Fine him or whatever, slap him, you know, in the wrist or whatever it is, but don't destroy the man over killing the line.
All right, Mark, thanks so much for your call. I mean, it may be too late, unfortunately, in the case of this Walter man. I mean, I think his career may be destroyed. John in Newburgh. John, you're on 77 WABC.
Hi, Noam. Great to talk to you. Noam, I don't always agree with you or Geraldo, but on this point, I think that we find ourselves with the world turned upside down. I think you're right that I wouldn't go on a trophy hunt, but this man shouldn't be destroyed. If he, in fact, thought that it was being done legally and it was available to him from this country's Zimbabwe, but the moral outrage over an animal in the end is ridiculous with what you see going on in this world.
All right.
Right in our backyard, as the last caller said, an industry that sells for profit, baby organs, disguised as fetal tissue, Christians being beheaded.
All right, I get your point, John. Got to go to a break, but we'll be back. No woman for Geraldo, 77 WABC.
Please forgive me and forget it. I was wrong and I admit it. Why can't we talk it over? Why can't we forget about the pain?
My heart needs a second chance.
So, when do we forgive Walter Palmer? Does he get any forgiveness? Or do we just beat the living daylights out of this Minnesota dentist who killed Cecil the Lion in Zimbabwe in what was a cowardly hunt? I'll give you that. But do we destroy his life in the process? Is that the get back? And there are people suggesting that this hunt was illegal, and it may have been, but there's lots to suggest that Walter Palmer, this 55-year-old, did not know that, had set up the trip, went out there, and went on this cowardly hunt where it was pretty much set up for him. And the lion was basically handed to him like shooting fish in a barrel. But now he comes home and we're going to ruin his life. That's the payback. We're going to take away his very successful dental clinic that paid the $55,000 fee for him to go on this trip. We're going to destroy his family. We're going to make him go into hiding for the rest of his life. When does he get to come out of hiding, by the way? When does that happen? I'd be curious to know. 1-866-Geraldo, 1-866-437-2536. Noam in for Geraldo, taking your calls all morning long. And John, you start off this part of the hour. John, you're on 77 WABC.
Hello.
Hey. Yo. You're on, man.
This is Norm?
It is.
Yeah, I sorry, I needed to change.
Yeah, I'm a hunter.
What were you changing?
You're right about the cowardly hunt, but this isn't the first cowardly hunt this guy did. I mean, if you check his history, he is this alleged big game hunter that gets animals set up for him, just about tied down so he can shoot them.
Right.
You know what? Maybe it's not right to ruin his life, but maybe if his life gets ruined, maybe the rest of these cowards will not do the same thing.
So, okay, so if he had done it in a way where it was a real hunt, then it would be okay.
Yeah, sure, if it was a real hunt. He used a bow and arrow, and it took him 40 hours to hunt after he shot the blind and didn't kill it. Took him 40 hours to hunt the thing down and then finally kill it with a gun.
Right, so the punishment, though, is we just destroy him because...
Well, you know what? If it stops another guy from doing the same thing, then let the punishment fit. It's the way it goes.
Well, John, I disagree with you just because it happens all the time. By the way, do you know how this story is playing in Zimbabwe today? They're like, this happens every day. The animals are hunted every day. People, poachers... Hunters come in, pay huge sums from all over the world. So this story is not playing like it is here, which is awfully interesting, like it is in the rest of the world. Here it in Zimbabwe, they're sort of like, hey, it's another day in Zimbabwe. Steve, you're in New York, and now you're on 77 WABC. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, Norm, how are you?
Good.
I just thought I'd like to put a little bit more perspective on what I'm hearing on every TV station and every radio station. I do a lot of big game hunting myself. I've hunted Africa twice. I've hunted all over Canada and all over the U.S., the whole cowardly hunting thing, people have to understand that the protection of these animals are coming from the dollars that these permits that these people are buying is paying for.
So the $55,000, I'm glad to have you on because I can ask you this. So the $55,000 this dentist paid,
right.
Some of that money was going to environmental protection sort of thing, that kind of thing?
Some of it, yes. The permit costs are going to what keeps anti-poaching patrols in the woods and in these state parks. They keep the poachers down. Without the $100 coming in to pay for this, there's no animal rights organizations paying for these patrols or anywhere else in the U.S. for that matter.
So the patrols from the poachers, you mean?
Right.
Okay.
When you shoot something in Africa, particularly in Africa, a certain percentage of the revenue goes to the local villages and the locals of wherever you're hunting to prevent them from killing the animals, eating them themselves. They get a revenue source because most of them are farmers. And they also have conservation revenue, and these animals are hunted during specific times in specific ways.
Well, let me ask you this, Steve, because I'm really curious about this. So give me some of the things that you've hunted over the years and where you've been.
I've hunted South Africa twice. I've hunted...
What did you hunt in South Africa? What did you kill in South Africa?
We've shot kudu, impala, nyala, red hartebeest, water buck, zebra.
Really? Now, you shot them? How does that work? You shoot them with a gun or like this guy with a bow and arrow?
No, I've shot them with... I've hunted primarily Africa with the rifle. The rule of thumb is if you wound an animal over in Africa, you pay the trophy fee, or which is the license tag, which goes to the government or goes to, you know, to protection of wildlife.
And what do you do with a kill? Do you eat it afterwards or do you bring it home? How does that work?
You're not allowed to bring any meat into the U.S. That's why the whole trophy thing gets really played up. All the meat goes to locals. It goes to, like, South Africa. All the meat that I shot went to local market. Most of the animals I shot were between 400 to 800 pounds. That goes to locals. They don't eat beef. They don't eat chicken over there. They're eating wild game. And wild game is produced by most of the hunting outfitters over there. So there's a basic... revenue for everyone.
So let me ask you a stupid question because I don't know. I've never met anybody that's done this kind of hunting. Do you have some of the things that you've killed on your wall? Do you have some of their heads?
I have them all on my
real
wall.
So okay, go through the list. I want to know. I'm curious. You're going to get people so angry, but I want to know. What animals do you have on your wall?
The Africa stuff or the American stuff?
Whatever. I want to hear it. The more exotic, the better.
I have a full body black bear. I got mountain lions. I've got white-tailed deer. I've got mule deer. What else do I got?
Well, tell me about the thrill of it all. What is it? Because I'm not making a judgment call. I'm just not into it. But tell me, what's the thrill? What's the excitement of hunting a lion or a bear? And is it a fair fight? Or are you always going to win?
No, it's a very fair fight because every hunt you go on, I don't come home successful every time I go out. and you pay a dollar fee for an outfitter to take you out. Like the man who just paid $50,000 to poor dentist, if he didn't get a lion, he may the original fee may have been about $20,000 to $25,000 plus the permit fee. If you don't come home with your lion, you go out and you try it again the following season.
Okay, but I want to know about that moment because I'm really curious about this. What's the moment? Is it just an intense adrenaline rush when you come close to this animal and you shoot it down? Is that the whole thrill of it? What is the thrill?
It's hard to explain to people who don't hunt, but I don't hunt to kill. I mean, killing is part of the hunt, but the hunt is going out, getting up in the morning, going out, seeing all sorts of, I mean, Africa is an amazing place to go. But you go out and you see all sorts of stuff. It's an amazing place. The kill is, it's not what I'm out there for. I'm out there to go hunting. The kill is part of it. I want to be successful, but it doesn't necessarily have to happen every single time. I mean, I've been just as happy coming home with nothing and trying it again next year and making all the plans and purchasing all the permits and all the paperwork to bring your rifles or your bows or everything back and forth into Africa. It's an amazing experience right from the time you leave that airport to the time you meet the Africans themselves and then you come home.
Be specific, but what do you do for a living?
HVAC guy. I'm just a working class guy.
So you're making that kind of money that you can go on these hunts?
It takes me about 2 to 3 years. The big, giant game stuff, no, I can't afford lions. I can't afford bull elephant hunts. There's a 50, 60,000. God bless the guys that do because they're producing the revenue. If you want to look up on the Internet, look up the Pittman-Robert Act.
Okay.
That is a sales tax that was imposed by probably Teddy Roosevelt on all. It was done by sportsmen.
Let me ask you this. What's in the plans? What's the next hunt? What are you saving up for right now?
I just did alligator in Florida about 2 years ago, and I'm probably going to wind up going back to Africa maybe next year or the following year down to the Northern Cape of South Africa.
Okay, now I'm going to ask you a totally obnoxious question, but understand I'm not trying to insult you you this question.
That's fine.
You've hunted animals. Would you be interested in hunting people?
Oh, that is an obnoxious question. Absolutely not.
No, so it is the next level, because I wonder how high the thrill goes. And again, I don't mean this in a judgmental way. I'm just curious. Could the thrill go as high as you'll pay $55,000 and you can shoot at Africans?
Yeah, the kill part is not the point. It's
the hunt.
Participation. I've been hunting since I was probably 10 years old. And it's just something that's instinctive. I don't even think about it. It's just part of my life.
And everything that you hunt here, or I imagine a lot of what you hunt here, you probably eat and use, right? I would assume.
Oh, yeah, always. Yeah, always. But the...
Have you eaten, like, tiger meat or any of that? What is it? Does it taste like chicken?
Well, tigers are protected.
What's the most exotic thing you've eaten that you've killed?
The most exotic? I don't know. I would probably think kudu or impala. The steaks are very good.
And it's like a steak? What is it? Red meat?
Yeah. Yeah. They whatever you shoot, I mean, if you're shooting an 800-pound animal and you're there for a 10-day trip, the outfitter will provide you with some of the meat, which you'll enjoy during the time you're there. And like I said, the rest of it goes to market.
Well, I'm fascinated, Steve. I got a roll, but thank you so much because you gave me an education I did not have. I've never talked to somebody who's done the big game hunting, and I think I get a sense. Did you read Walter Palmer's story? That one seems a little more cowardice than what you're describing, but you're telling me I have it wrong. I just want to make sure I understand you. It was just as dangerous as going out on any other hunt, what Walter Palmer did when he went and shot that.
Yeah, so it was probably more the outfitter's issue than anything. But if he's hunting on the outskirts of the parks, anything outside those parks is fair game. Now, whether the outfitter did intentionally draw a specific cat out of that park in order to kill it, that would be wrong. But you got to understand, the rhinos, the white rhino and the black rhino are endangered species in Africa. It's the hunters' dollars who have brought them back from almost extinction.
But isn't that kind of weird, though, right? So your money for killing animals is keeping other animals alive. That is such a bizarre way around, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's self-sustaining.
Okay.
As long as the wildlife is there, as soon as you stop. If you stop lion hunting today because everybody's outraged, and the U.S. says we're not going to import any more skins whatsoever,
it would be bad for those endangered animals.
The revenue stops, and the poachers come in because there's a big market in Korea, Japan, China for animal parts.
All right,
for lion bone and skin.
Hold on one second there, Steve. Is this is this somebody who's really upset at, is Rita really upset at Steve? Do I have that right? Oh, okay, okay. Steve, I'm going to say goodbye to you, and thank you so much for your, you gave me a really good education, and I appreciate that. I appreciate your call, and be safe out there, all right? Let's go to Rita. Rita is in Connecticut now. Rita, you're on 77 WABC.
Hello.
Hey, you're on.
I believe what he did is not right at all, but I believe that people should not be so cruel about it. Like, if he's a good person, he's probably not going to be able to forgive himself.
For killing the lion. How old are you? You sound young, Rita.
I'm 12.
Oh, yeah, good for you. I have a 12-year-old, too, at home.
Oh, cool.
You sound cute. Maybe I can set the two of you up, you know, somewhere down the road. But that's a good thought. I like that, Rita. And what are you doing listening to talk radio? It's supposed to be only old men allowed on this radio station.
My mom puts it on.
Oh, she does. Well, thank your mom. She's got good taste.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rita. All right. 77 WABC. It's Noam in for Geraldo. If you were listening before, we had what was, I thought, a really fascinating conversation with a hunter, Steve, who gave us the full lowdown of what it's like to do big game hunting across the world. He saves up money. He's not a wealthy guy to go on these hunts and eat some of what he has the heads of all the animals on his wall in his house. And as I was talking to him, one of my favorite people here, Jill, you know, his flirty flipper from Curtis and Kubi, came up to the window of our studio, and it looked like her head was about to explode.
I wanted to kill that guy through the window. Him and this dentist guy need to, I think we need to teach people a lesson that what this dentist guy did is not right. And I'm glad that there's a hunt for him, and I hope they get him, and I hope somebody mounts him
really?
On their
so
wall.
Really? So you're okay, because PETA says that they should have this guy, Walter Palmer, hung. He should be hanged.
Yeah, and then
you're
somebody
okay
should
with that?
Yeah, and then somebody should mount him
but
on
an
their
animal.
Wall.
Animal. Cecil's an animal.
And so is
isn't
Walt.
There a,
isn't so
there
is
a chain,
the,
like people, animals?
No. Walter's an animal. We're all animals. We're
right.
All and no, this guy needs to, we need to teach people a lesson that what he did wasn't right. He lured the poor lion out, you know, of this place and just what he did was.
But according to Steve, it was truly a hunt, and I have no reason to, you know, to think that
it was
Steve is not telling me the truth.
It was a cowardly hunt.
But Steve's saying it's not. He said you could get killed in this doing this hunt. That it's truly.
Then
a
he
hunt.
Shouldn't have been there. This guy, he lured the poor lion out. He was sleeping or whatever he was doing, and what he did was a cowardly act. And somebody needs to get this dentist and hang them on their wall and put them in a museum and say, if you guys do this, this is what's going to happen
to
you.
Wait, so that's okay. So you don't want to kill animals, but it's okay if you kill Walter Palmer.
Right, because the animal didn't do anything. This guy did. This guy murdered.
Wait, but you just told me people were animals.
Right, but No.
Wait, didn't you kill a lobster?
That was an accident. But what this guy did was intentional. The
right.
Animals kill for survival. This guy didn't need to kill the lion to survive, right?
No. Yeah, I'm not somebody who's in for hunting, but I sort of see where he's coming from.
And this guy who says he hung black bears from his wall, what an idiot you are, Steve. Steve, you're an idiot.
How about, well, I don't know if he's an idiot.
He's an idiot.
No, he's a listener. How about this? He says that the fees that he pays, the 55 grand or whatever it is, a lot of it goes to protect endangered species in these countries in Africa where they would never be able to afford to
do
that.
I don't want to hear any of that crap. What this guy did was wrong, and he needs to be taken care of. Somebody could just take care of the situation. That would be great.
Good. So it's not okay to kill Cecil, but go ahead and kill
Walter
Palmer.
Right, because Cecil didn't do anything. This guy did. Cecil was just minding his own business, being a lion, just
all right.
Tanning or sunning and taking care of his family.
You can hear Flirty Flipper, of course, every single morning, the most excellent producer on radio, well, after, of course, Marty Berman, on from 12 to 3 with Curtis and Kubi. So
love
make sure you listen.
Love you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Love you back. More to get to. We'll take some more calls on this and other stuff as well. Man, it's a busy morning, so if you go anywhere, I'll come over and I'll smack you silly. No, I'm in for Geraldo, 77 WABC.
I'm free, as free as the wind blows.
Who's this, Andy Williams?
As free as the grass grows, born free to follow.
Boy, we seem to have hit a nerve. Walter Palmer, we've been talking all morning. You don't want to spend a whole lot more on this because there's other things to talk about today. But Walter Palmer, the Minnesota dentist who went all the way to Zimbabwe to kill the Lion King. Now the whole world trying to destroy him. And I'm trying to defend him, not necessarily for the hunt that he went on because I'm not a hunting kind of guy. But, you know, as far as he knew, it was legal. Now we have to destroy him when he's back on land here. I don't really get it. Let's see. We'll start with Andrea in on Staten Island. Andrea, you're on 77 WABC.
Hi, Noam.
Hey.
Well, I agree with you. We shouldn't be destroying the man's life because we don't live in a vigilante society. However, what he did is illegal in Zimbabwe and punishable by up to 10 years in jail. Okay, they probably won't extradite him, even though we have an extradition treaty with them.
Right.
But I think he should pay for what he did. I don't.
Well, he did. He paid $55,000.
No. I mean, he should pay. It's against the law to kill a protected animal in Zimbabwe, and this lion was protected.
Right, and I understand. And ignorance of the law is not a defense.
It's
I get that.
Not a defense. Yeah. And Ralph would tell you the same thing because he's an attorney. And that's how I think this man should pay. He should be extradited to Zimbabwe and face charges.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine what they'll do to him in Zimbabwe?
I don't care what they do.
It will not be pretty. It will not be pretty at all.
I don't care. He deserves what he gets.
All right. Well, you sound like you're on Jill Flirty Flipper's side when it comes to that. Let's see. Linda in Rockville. Senator Leonard, you're on 77 WABC.
Yes. Hi.
Hey. Go ahead, you're on. You're live.
My comment is that when they killed Cecil, they didn't only kill Cecil, because if you know anything about lions and the prize, when a male is usually killed by other lions and the prize is taken over, so obviously by him being pretty much slaughtered, all his cubs, whatever cubs he had around, would have been killed by the new pride leaders. Now, he was supposedly being studied by a group of scientists, and I'm sure his cubs were too, because of genetics with lions having all kinds of inherited problems these days. So it wasn't only that they were getting rid of Cecil, they were getting rid of his pride, and the new people who would take over would have different genetics, maybe good.
Right, okay, so I get that, and I don't disagree with you. I think, probably an awful thing, but my suggestion is he gets back home, and we try to take everything possible away that he's made in his life, that he's the most evil person on the planet.
No, that's ridiculous. He's not the most evil.
He's not Adolf Hitler. He's not Mussolini. He's a guy who went on a trophy hunt that he thought was legal.
Or Goebbels or any of those people. But he's totally misguided, and I don't know if you're aware, but he didn't even have to leave this country to do canned hunts, because that's what it was, a canned hunt. In Texas, they have ranches that they stock with all kinds of wildlife, including lions.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Come and they shoot them.
Yeah.
And, I mean, when it comes to hunting, who's got the upper hand? Who's got the bullets in the chamber? Not the lions.
You sound like somebody who would. You sound like somebody who's rooting for the animals.
It's not a question of rooting for the animals. It's called decency. We're in the 21st century.
Are you a meat eater, though? Are you a meat eater?
Am I a meat eater?
Yeah.
I eat some meat.
Okay, so how does that meat get to you? I mean, at some point the animals are slaughtered, and it's probably not the happiest, most happy circumstance.
Well, maybe it's not their happy time moment, but certainly if
those chickens in the confined cages,
the animal before it's processed.
Can I tell you something, Linda? When I drive in every morning at 2:45 in the morning, almost every day, I follow this truck that's filled with cages of chickens that are being brought to some market. I don't know where. And they're stuffed into these cages, and there's feathers flying everywhere, and it looks completely miserable. You're eating those things. I'm a vegetarian. I don't
eat. Well, you don't know, because there are different processors. There's different ways of buying meat. Not everybody goes to the supermarket to get their meat. And I have spent many years breeding and showing Scottish Terriers. I now have an Irish Setter. So it's not like I'm unaware of the needs of animals.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I get that. All right. Let's see. Line 6 is Lisa in New Jersey. Lisa, you're on 77 WABC.
Noam, I've been listening to you all morning, and I am sick of it.
What are you
sick of? Everybody out there, how in the hell...
Who is this?
This is Lisa Durden.
Hey, Lisa. How are you?
I'm sorry.
I knew I recognized the voice. Go ahead. Be angry at me. Go ahead. Continue.
It's not anger, but it's my passion, boo. You can't even see my hand. I'm sitting up to here, and you can imagine I'm 5'11", with people out there being more outraged about a lion who was killed legally, and nobody gives a damn about black people's lives. People are being hanged in prison cells. People are being choked on the
Hey, don't forget Cincinnati. That's the most recent one. The guy, claimed
I'm getting out of breath.
Yeah.
So don't get me wrong. I'm an animal lover. I would never hurt an animal. I don't even want to kill a roach with roach spray unless it's on me and I have to save my own self. But how dare these people come out the way they are and nobody whisper a word about how black lives are being killed illegally. This man had a license to hunt. If you don't like the fact that hunting is legal, then don't fight the dentist. Go to the legislator and change the legislation. But I didn't hear Sharon Osbourne talk about Black Lives Matter and who's been murdered. I didn't hear any of these.
Yeah, Lisa. Lisa, by the way, has this great website, lisadurden.com. Lisa, you know, if I went to Mia Farrow's Twitter feed, where she's the one who gave out Walter Palmer's address, the dentist from Minnesota, I bet if I look at her past tweets, there's probably nothing about anything except animals, nothing about humans on there.
Mia Farrow is she's a woo-hoo, woo-hoo. I wonder if she's smoking weed, tough, tough.
If she is, I hope she shares, you know, so.
You know,
both
well,
of us.
I don't do that, but, you know, you can have it. You know, I don't
I'll take your portion.
But, you know, so Mia Farrow and Sharon, and I love these people. I love Sharon Osbourne. I've always loved Mia Farrow's films. But I was disturbed by all of the outcries and the outpouring of not just regular people, but celebrities who were actually denouncing this dentist. And nobody denounced the police for murdering black people in the street and in prison cells. Nobody came out. None of these stars came out when Dylan Roof, that freaking monster, shot up all nine people in that church. Where were you, Sharon Osbourne, when we were being hunted? When human beings were being hunted? Where the hell was your sign? And where were you talking about this on the talk?
All right, well, I hear you, Lisa, and I always love talking to you, and I always love checking out the website, lisadurden.com. And you're a great contributor to the Geraldo Show. We love having you on, and I get your anger. I totally do. And thanks for coming on this morning. I appreciate it. We'll go back to your calls. 1-866-Geraldo, 1-866-437-2536. Andrew in New Jersey. Andrew, you're on 77 WABC.
That last caller represents what's wrong with the black leadership. She never mentioned the black-on-black 17 killed in one weekend in Chicago.
Well, I think she was making a point, though. I think her point was people are getting nutty, and they are. I agree with her in this part. People are nutty about this lion, but they don't seem to be nutty about regular human beings on the street, whether it's ISIS chopping people's heads off, whether it's people shooting one another. Nobody gets crazy about this, but the Twitter universe explodes. Facebook explodes. My phone lines are exploding with people who are angry about this lion. So I don't know if it has anything to do with Obama, but I appreciate the call, Andrew. Linda in Princeton, you're on 77 WABC. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Noam. I missed that last thing. Is this being blamed on Obama?
Well, everything. This is WABC, so of course.
Well, let's blame it on Obama and Trump at the same time.
Right, right.
Listen, I certainly second Lisa's anger about this issue. In addition, I would like to say that there was a great 18th century jurist, philosopher, English guy, Jeremy Bentham, and this applies across the board, certainly to animals, and I'm not a PETA person. The question is not whether they can think or reason, you know, when we do experiments, when we hunt them down, et cetera. The question is, can they feel fear or pain? And if you treat the art of killing an animal as some higher level accomplishment in human life, you've got a pretty short, you know, have a pretty low bar for what humanity is. And I would add to what Lisa said, where is the concern about the poverty in which the people in Zimbabwe are living for the people who are, you know, adoring of this lion? Certainly the lion's life should not have been taken under any circumstances, because animals do have their own families, et cetera, which are far more functional than our own as human beings. But it seems to me that someone who makes a sport of killing animals without putting themselves at enormous risk, you know, with all sorts of high-tech this, that, and the other, and then allows the animal possibly to take 30 hours to die.
Right. I can agree with you more. It seems a little ill and sick. And Linda, I appreciate the phone call. Going to take some more of your phone calls. 1-866-Geraldo, 1-866-437-2536. Before I go to a break, I want to tell you about this study that I was reading this morning. Pew Research study finds that more millennials are kids compared to us, between 18 and 34 years old, who are living at home. More and more of these young adults. It's like an all-time high of young adults living in your basement after they come home from school. And I am suggesting, I have little kids, but I'm suggesting for you older folk, and I might be like this too, that maybe the problem is the reason these millennials are coming back home, and by the way, the economy has improved, so you can't even blame that anymore, is that we've gone soft on them. We are so soft on them. I see it in my own kids, and I am willing to admit it right here that I think I'm a great father, but sometimes when I think about the way my father would have handled a situation and the way I handle a situation, that we've gone soft. And so now it's so soft that we give them this great life until they go off to college, that when they finish college, they don't know what the heck to do. So they move back home and they feed off of us. Do the laundry for them. You make your meals for them. Maybe you give them some cash. Maybe you even charge them rent. But I don't even know that anybody does that anymore. I find this study so interesting. And I wonder what it says about our future, that these 18 to 34-year-olds in mass, are living at home, not always in the basement, but sometimes. Sometimes they're back in their bedroom, redoing the bedroom because the old posters, you know, aren't the posters they want anymore, and they put new stuff up on the wall, and now they're living at home. And maybe they even have a full-time job, but they're still living at home, living off you. So I want to hear from you. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536, especially if you're a mom or dad who's letting your kid live at home. Or maybe you're that kid that's living at home. When's that going to end? And what is it? We've made these kids so soft that they feel they have to need to move back in with you. And I want to tell you my story. I didn't move back home, by the way, because my parents live overseas. But I'll tell you my story of what happened to me after college. And I want to hear from you as well. If you think this is a good trend that your kids are moving back home, or you're with me that you think we have just gone soft in the most major way. Is it a family affair? Pew Research poll out today says more young adults are living at home than ever. So it started, of course, during the dreadful job downturn in 2008 when we had that major recession. But now the kids aren't moving out. And I suggest what this study says is that we have, as parents, have gone soft on our kids. We want to become too friendly with them. And I will tell you that I am as guilty of this as anybody else. And I'm not even really sure how to turn it around. But I watch, even in my neighborhood, my friends, who now some of them have older kids than I do. Mine are still young. But the ones who have older ones, they've moved back in. And it seems like a great deal. They're not paying rent. Most of them have full-time jobs. They're back in their old bedroom. Mom or dad is making meals. Mom and dad's doing their laundry. They come home, they go out at night, they party, come back home. So why would they move out? And I don't remember it being as intense like this. And I know people will say it's the economy, but I'm telling you it's not. Because according to this Pew Research poll, which took census data, most of these kids who are living at home have jobs. So that's not the issue. Let's see. And it says young adults were the age group that was the hardest hit by the Great Recession. But they haven't really fully healed from the damages, they say. But what they're saying past that is that even we got past this economic recession and these kids haven't left the house yet. So we're taking your calls. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Isn't it okay to suffer a little bit? I'll tell you my story, and I know it'll bring you to tears on a summer Friday afternoon. So when I was 21, some 20 years ago, my parents didn't live. They lived in a foreign country, so I was out on my own when I graduated college. In fact, they moved to that foreign country when I was in college. So every break, I'd have to find a place to live, go to a friend's house, and I had to raise the money for my rent myself. And I had to find my meals on my own. And then when I got my first job here in the city, I would take the money that I had at the end of the day after paying for lunch, and I would put all the change into a bucket. And at the end of the month, I would take that bucket to the local change place, and I would pour it in there, and that was how I paid about half of my rent. I still have that bucket, by the way, because you never know when you might need it again. I still have that bucket. My wife says, come on, let go already. It was so many years ago, but I can't let go. I think I'm going to pass it down to my 12-year-old. You never know, but he might need the bucket. So, but I learned something from that. I learned from something from that, from having that bucket, that I knew I wanted something better than that bucket. But the funny that there's something wrong with me that I still hold on to that bucket, isn't there? Maybe I need to see someone about it. Taking your calls, 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Michelle is in New Jersey. And Michelle, you're on 77 WABC.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great, Michelle.
Well, I mean, I am guilty of everything you described. All three of my kids moved back home.
All three?
College.
Okay.
But I must say, I made a lot of mistakes in terms of, you know, cooking meals, cleaning their room, doing everything for them, which is really a huge mistake. And you kind of refer to the time they were in high school, and you take care of them as if they were, you know, 12-year-olds or 15-year-olds. But to their defense, depending on where you live in the country, if you live in New Jersey, New York, metropolitan area, the rents are unaffordable. I mean, you have to move with two people at
right.
least.
Right. But Michelle, can't they move in with like five people in a house? I mean, isn't that part of the learning process that, you know
yes.
what, mom and dad aren't going to fund me. I got to do it on my own.
You're right. You're right. We don't want them to suffer, God forbid.
Right.
We want everything to be easy for them, which is a mistake because they don't grow up as a result. But
Michelle, can I tell you something? I'm right there with you. I'm not wagging my finger at you. I tell my 12-year-old all the time that when he goes off to college, I'm going with him.
Yeah, we're so paranoid about any of them suffering and being unhappy and having to struggle.
Were your parents like that? Did you or did they let you struggle? Did they let you out in the wind, twist in the wind,
well,
try to figure it out on your own?
I grew up in France, so I didn't have the experience, you know, in this country. And it's a little bit different over there. I think that people, at least, you know, in my days when I was growing up, you didn't move so much. So your family remained intact in one place, or
right.
most of your family. So you had that big support system, and you could stay with your parents. That was totally accepted.
Well, I got to go, because I have just a couple seconds left, but I want to ask you this quick question. Are those three kids still at home, or did you finally kick them out?
No. When I threatened that I was going to charge rent, then everybody packed up.
Oh, come on. That's
seriously,
great. What were you going to charge?
Anything while they were staying with me. So as soon as I said, well, it's been a year and a half, it's been 2 years, I have to start charging rent.
What were you going to charge?
Well, I never did because they left.
But what were you thinking? What was the amount you were going to charge?
You know, something ridiculously low, like maybe $75.
I'll take you up on that. I got two kids and a wife. Can I move in?
Oh,
I like that.
I'll tell you, it's like a hotel.
I like that hotel. Sounds like a nice place. Michelle,
that's why they don't leave. You have to make it on time
exactly.
for them.
Exactly. You're a great mama, Michelle. Thanks so much for calling. We're going to take more of your calls. Noam Layden in for Geraldo, 77 WABC. Some madness on a Friday evening in the summer. Friday afternoon, I should say, in the summer. No, I guess it's still morning, technically, isn't it? Friday morning in the summertime. Having this fun conversation about this Pew Research poll that came out today that suggests that the millennials, 18 to 34-year-olds, in droves are living at home. And my suggestion looking at this survey, which goes on, but the details are just really that they're living at home, and we've made it so easy for them to live at home, do their laundry, make their meals. We want to be friends with them. We want them close by. I will tell you that I am as guilty of this sort of thing as anybody else. My kids are still younger. They're not near college age yet, but I always tease my 12-year-old that I'm going to go off to college with them because I'm going to miss them so much. So I want to hear from some people who have their kids in their basements and want them out. Or maybe you love it. And that's okay. I totally get it if you do love it. And maybe you're that kid that's in the basement. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Does it make this next generation softer, or does it just make us closer as families? I'm not really sure. I don't know the answer to that question. Andrea, maybe she does. She's in Connecticut. You're on 77 WABC. Good morning, Andrea.
Yes, hi. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Well, we take care of our babies, our children, and, you know, at some point in time, they come back and they take care of us as well.
I mean, we have to keep it real.
Right.
And,
so,
you know, it's the way it is.
So, are your kids at home? Is that what you're telling me, or no?
No. My child is self-sufficient. He has a really good job. But we're very close, and I hope at some point in time that, you know, when it comes down to brass tacks, that if I need to be taken care of, that he would take care of me as I took care of him.
Oh, I hope he doesn't throw you in a home, because you sound like a nice mom.
Oh, I hope I'm a nice mom.
No, I hope he doesn't throw you in a home. You know what I mean? You know what I mean by a home?
Oh, I know what you mean. No.
Lock the key and leave you. Wait for the inheritance.
I don't think that he would.
That's
no.
Good. You sound, Andrew, like a nice mom. Thanks so much for your call. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Let's see, Jimmy in Wayne. Jimmy, you're on 77 WABC. I may need some help with that phone crash, line two. Nope. Jimmy, you're on.
With everything you said, you know, I don't want to repeat it all, but I want to give the key to happiness for the parents as they get older, that you got to have a long-term plan. Buying a small house, this way you don't make it comfortable for the kids.
That's a good idea, actually.
And also, they have to go away to college.
Yes,
of course.
They
do not want to come back.
Oh, your experience is that if they go out of state or far enough away, they're not going to want to come back.
Absolutely.
Not to Wayne, New Jersey.
One other point that you really got to bring to your kids, that it's, you know, they sleep there. But, you know, my kids have opinions about everything, and there's three of them that I have in their 30s. And I tell them, you can only have an opinion when you got your own house.
Right. So to get them on the way. You want them on the way to financial independence, you know, and start them early. And if they live at home, they're not doing that.
All three of them. I got a school teacher, an NYPD police officer, and an entrepreneur.
Well, Jimmy, it sounds like you did a fantastic job as a dad, and that's what you're supposed to do. Did I tell my bucket story? Living out of my bucket at 21. At the end of the day, I would take what little change I had from my job and I'd put it into this bucket. And at the end of the month, I'd empty the bucket into one of those Coinstar machines, and whatever came out was what I paid for rent each month, living out of that bucket. But I learned a lot from that bucket. I still have that bucket today.
I did tell that story.
Gino in the Bronx, you're on 77 WABC. Good morning, Gino.
I think maybe you should take that bucket and put it over Jill Vitale's head.
Oh, no, come on. I love Jill.
All right. I'll let her slide for this one. But anybody who's in their 20s and 30s and they're still living in mommy and daddy's basement, banging away on the internet, issuing death threats to this idiot dentist, are what we used to call in the old neighborhood Mamalukes.
Mamalukes.
Yeah, a mamaluke. You know what a mamaluke is?
I know what a mamaluke is.
Yeah, a mamaluke is somebody who's a worthless, lazy slime ball, a natural born
slacker. Oh, come on, Gino, do you have kids?
Never do anything productive
in their lives. Do you have kids,
because
Gino?
Because we have allowed
Gino, do you have kids?
No, and that's the reason why, because I don't want them to turn out the way I did.
Yeah.
Because I want them to be productive members of society.
Gino, I love you, but I bet you would have been a good dad. I'm not sure why you didn't go for it. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Brian in New Jersey. Brian, you're on 77 WABC.
No, I'm good to talk to you again. We met briefly at the beer summit last year with Astorino and Jeff Bell.
Oh, yeah, I remember you. How are you doing, Brian?
I'm doing well, thank you. I just wanted to say I am a millennial who's living at home.
Oh, you are?
I work. I have today off, so I'm glad I was listening in today. I just wanted to say it's not as easy as people think to just move on out. You had a previous caller who talked about the rent, and Jimmy McMillan, say what you want about him, he had it right. The rent is just too damn high. I live in New Jersey. I work in New Jersey. And I'm actually proud to say I will be moving out at the end of this year. I found a lovely place, but I'll be 26 at the end of the year.
And I have a bucket for you.
To save up for the rent.
Do you want a bucket? I got a bucket I can give you.
I love the bucket story. Look, I think that everyone has different circumstances, and the problem is people are so quick to criticize millennials who live at home. The thing is, it's about making smart financial decisions.
Well, that's true. But let me ask you this, Brian. What do you do? What do you do for a living?
I work in government.
And where in what part of New Jersey in?
I live in Bergen County.
Oh, okay. Well, Bergen County, I get that. It's really expensive. How, do you mind me asking, how old are you?
I'm 25. I'll be 26 in a month.
So when are you moving out? I mean, when do you have a plan in place to actually get out of the house or no?
Yes, December.
Oh, December. Okay, I missed that. Yep. So you're, and you want to buy or are you going to rent?
Oh, I'm going to rent because I can't afford the down payment just yet. So I'm planning on renting for 2 to 3 years, save up, save my raises, save any extra money I can earn, and hopefully I'll be able to buy in 2 or 3 years. I'm planning on staying in New Jersey for the time being, so I got to save up a lot because New Jersey's not cheap, and you know, being in New York, New York is no cheaper.
No, it's not. And Brian, and it's good to talk to you again. And I get the story. You know, you got to have the money to pay the rent. But I do think, you know, there's something to be said with living with 20 people and making that sacrifice. Joel is in Syosset. Joel, you're on 77 WABC.
Hey, good morning. It's Joe.
Not Joe.
Joel, but that's okay. Listen, I think I have the opposite tack. I have two daughters who both, you know, lived at home until they went to college. They both boarded at college. And when they were done with college, they you know, kind of moved out. They actually stayed in the areas where they went to school. And at this point, I would love it if they moved back home. I miss them. And they don't visit often enough. I'm sure that's a constant complaint from some parents. And I've offered to put a dormer on my house so they can have their own apartment and kind of their own freedom. But I have the opposite complaint of most people.
I totally get that, Joe. My kid went off to summer camp for 2 weeks, and they post pictures that online of what the kids are doing during the day because they're not allowed to communicate with you. They take the cell phones away and everything.
I was
refreshing that website to look at the pictures every 5 minutes because I missed them so much. So I totally get that. I bet I'll be the same way. But you're probably raising great kids because they didn't come home because they're making their sacrifices.
They are great kids, and it certainly makes it all the more special when they do come home. You know, they're home for holidays and whatnot, and sometimes during the year. I have one daughter lives in Boston, and she'll sometimes come home for a long weekend and completely surprise us, and it's just such a great thing when she does. And I wish she'd do it every weekend, but I know that's not possible.
Well, Joel,
they have their own lives.
Joel, it sounds like you did it exactly right, and that's what you do. You want to raise kids who can take care of themselves and who respect you and come home and want to hang out with you once in a while. So that's I think you did all right. I think you did all right.
Thanks
for the call, Joel. 1-866-Geraldo, or Joe, I guess it was. 1-866-Geraldo, 1-866-437-2536. Grandpa is in, oh no, let me put that on hold. Grandpa, you're in New Jersey, and now you're on 77 WABC. Good morning, Grandpa.
Good morning. You're doing a great job.
Oh, thank you.
You know what I want to say? Your kids are your kids. They're always your kids. They don't become people you know. They're your children.
Right.
And if I could, my daughter lives in San Diego.
Boy, she got far away from you. Boy, the other side of the country.
The job that she got wound up out there. I would rather have her living with me and her four kids and my other four grandkids because they're wonderful. They make you alive. They keep you alive.
Yeah.
You know?
You're going to make me cry, Grandpa. I totally get that. So do you get to see her often?
Not at all.
Yeah.
I don't fly.
You want me to call her? I'll call her right now and tell her to come home. Hold on one second. I'm going to put you on hold, Grandpa. You give Marty her phone number. We're going to call her, ask her why the heck she's not coming home more often. Let's see. Carlo is in Queens. Let's see. Carlo's in Queens, and now you're on 77 WABC. Good morning, Carlo.
Came home from college, lived with us for a year. My wife did her laundry, cooked the meals, then she moved out. She kept bringing home her laundry for my wife to do. So I went out and I bought her a washer dryer. Problem one solved. But she kept coming home for meals. So I went out and I bought her a set of pot and pan.
All right, good.
Problem two solved. Problem three solved was she still wanted to come over for dinner, so my wife and I kept inviting ourselves over to her apartment so she could cook us dinner.
Oh, that's great.
Problem three solved.
Right.
Guess what? After three things, it finally sunk in. A, it's a two-way street.
Good. Oh, God, that's a great idea. Those are all great ideas, and you sound like a great dad, Carlo. Thanks so much.
I get to be like we were, perfect in every way. What's the matter with kids?
Bye Bye Birdie, right? Did I get that right? Oh, look at me. Know my Broadway show tunes.
I don't mind midnight swimming.
Talking about being too soft to this new Pew research study that says more millennials are living home than any other generation, moving back into the house. You never know who's listening, by the way. My folks live in Israel, have lived there many, many years. Why? Well, because they're nutty. And so my father must be listening online, I guess, in Haifa. And he wrote to me, he said, you are right. I was much tougher than the new parents. It's too bad you're on radio and not television. Otherwise, you could show the audience all your scars. It's pretty funny. All right, Fran in Long Island. Fran, you're on 77 WABC.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great, Fran.
I just want to say that I have my children living with me, my daughter, my son-in-law, a three-year-old and one on the way, and they moved in about a year and a half ago. And it's really worked out. I think one of the things that makes me feel so good is this little one. It's when your children were growing up, I had so many jobs. I had so much to do. You didn't really spend as much time as maybe you wanted to with your kids when they were little.
Right.
And now, being retired, I have all this time to be with her, and it's makes you feel very good. Doesn't make you feel younger, but it makes you feel good.
Do you charge rent?
No.
Do you do their laundry?
No.
Do you make their meals?
Sometimes.
Okay.
They don't ask for
right.
anything.
All right. You sound like a great mom. Thanks, Fran. Thanks for your call. Richard in Connecticut. Richard, you're on 77 WABC.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
So your parents had to move to Haifa to keep you from coming home, is that it?
Exactly. They understood that I would be leeching off them like nobody's business.
Right. Well, I've got two daughters in their mid-20s. One just graduated from graduate school. The other one has been in graduate school for 1 year and has another 2 years to go. She's working full. They're both working full time. They live with me. I'm a single dad. They do their own laundry. They do their own cooking. The only money that I charge them is when they come downstairs in the middle of winter and complaining about how cold my home is. First, I tell them to run upstairs and put on some sweatpants or something.
Right.
But other than that, you know, they give me a little bit of money to help with the heat. But it's not costing me anything extra because, you know, same maintenance on the house, same taxes, same everything.
And by the way, that's such a dad move to control the heat and air conditioning. I do that.
Oh, God.
My kids complain constantly.
When nobody was home, my house was so cold.
Right.
We had two really bad cold winters. But
do you go around turning off the lights too? Do you go around turning off all the lights in the house too?
They're actually pretty well trained with that.
They are. Okay.
The only drawback is on Monday nights I'm exiled up to my bedroom because they both have friends over to watch the Bachelorette.
Oh God!
Other than that,
it's good. I got to say goodbye. But thank you. You sound like a great dad. I am out of here on this Friday morning. You can find me, by the way, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at Noam Layden. If you're lucky enough and fortunate enough to spell it, then you'll find me. If not, well, you're tough luck. Don't go anywhere now. Noam in for Geraldo. But right up next is Curtis Kubi right here, 77 WABC.